3, starting at verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you, and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So far the word of the Lord. May he bless it to our lives, and let's ask him now for a blessing on his word. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we've just sung together. Speak to us as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Lord, we continue to pray that this morning. Take your truth, plant it deep in us. Shape and fashion us, transform us into your likeness, that others may be able to see the light of Christ in us, in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Lord, help us to hear your call to us this morning. Work in our hearts through your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as a family living in the States for a number of years meant that we went through a few changes. And one of the changes that happened to us as we were there for a number of years was the way we spoke. Our language. Garage was no longer garage. Garage became garage. There were other things. It was no longer Coke. It was soda and pop. No such thing as a shopping trolley. Only shopping carts. Now, to the Americans who heard us, they thought we sounded like Kiwis. They could hear that there was something different in our speech. But when we came back home to New Zealand, people would say to us, "You sound different. You sound American." You see, because of the environment we were living in, because of the people we were talking to, we became transformed in a certain way. The way we spoke. And we see a transformation in some ways, in many ways, in the story of Samuel this morning, as he is transformed by his environment, and in particular, as he is changed, as he is molded by God's word as it works in his heart. So this morning we're going to see, and that's our theme this morning, God's word transforms us. It changes us. We're going to follow the story of Samuel. We're going to see the importance of God's word, and we're going to see how that word works in Samuel and works in us. So the first thing we're going to see this morning is that God's word is to be listened to. 1 Samuel 3 verse 1 begins with sobering words there. The second half of verse 3, "And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision." God wasn't speaking to his people. And if he spoke, it was very, very far, few and far in between. And in some ways, Eli here is a picture of what's happening in the entire nation of Israel. Eli's eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he couldn't see. He was lying down in his own place. There was darkness coming upon the land of Israel as they walked further and farther away from God. We saw that darkness also in Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And they'll come back again this morning as well. But in contrast to that, we have Samuel, we have light, verse 3. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. That was the lamp that was in the temple or in the tabernacle at that time that was to be kept on until daybreak. And where was Samuel lying down? Not in his own place, but in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Now we know the story, we've heard the story. Three times Samuel is called and he doesn't know what's going on. Verse 7 tells us why. "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." Words that are very similar of the description of Hophni and Phinehas in chapter 2 verse 12. "The sons of Eli were worthless men," it says. "They did not know the Lord." And as we looked at that last week, we saw that even though they had all the knowledge about God, they'd gone through all the education as priests, as apprentices, it didn't live in their heart. They didn't have a real contact, a real relationship with God. And is that what is being said here of Samuel? Well, there's one word there that's different. Samuel did not what know the Lord, boys and girls? What does it say in your Bible? Samuel didn't what does it say? Samuel did not yet, not. I can hear a few whispers. I'm going to take that as an answer. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. It was still coming. And in particular, the way it describes here, Samuel hadn't had dreams and visions yet from the Lord. The Lord hadn't spoken particularly to him. He hadn't revealed himself to him. Yet. And that's key. That's key. And Samuel is a quick learner, as Eli corrects him. The fourth time he is called, and Eli has already prepped him as to what's happening there. And in verse 10, Samuel gets it right. "The Lord came and stood calling as at other times." Now, notice the words there. "The Lord came and stood." Does that mean that the presence of the Lord was physically standing there in the temple? Samuel saw him? We're not sure, but it does show that God's presence was definitely there in front of Samuel. And as Samuel is called twice, "Samuel, Samuel," Samuel answers, "Speak, for your servant hears." Now, we're going to discuss the message in our second point, the message that Samuel is given. But what can we glean from this so far for ourselves? How can we apply this to our own lives? What we can see here, a wonderful picture of Samuel's childlike trust and faith. He listens to Eli, he learns, he also is open to to the word of the Lord coming to him. But does that mean that we can expect the Lord to speak to us in that way? That we can expect a small, still voice in the middle of the night to speak to us? Well, no, it doesn't mean that. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, page 1001, if you have one of the Pew Bibles. Keep your hand there in Samuel, we're coming back to that shortly. But Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to read the first couple of verses there. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. How did God used to speak in old days to the people? Through the prophets, through visions, through dreams. But how did he speak in the New Testament? In the last days, the days that we are in too, brothers and sisters. It's there in verse 2. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. He has spoken to us by Jesus Christ, who came down in flesh to the world, who spoke on this earth, whose words are recorded for us. What better thing that can we have than Jesus Christ speaking to us? Well, brothers and sisters, that's what we do have. That's the point of the author of the Hebrews. We have the words of Jesus Christ to us here in our hands this morning. God's word, Jesus' word to us, Jesus, thy word, written down here for us. And unlike the times of Samuel, the word of the Lord is not rare. The Bible remains the best-selling book in all of history. But yet there can still be a problem. I've just started swimming once a week in one of the local pool. And as I started swimming, I had a bit of a problem. After I got out of the pool, being in the pool for an hour or so, I had water in my ears. And I had some difficulty getting it out. So for the first morning, if you call me, if you phone me up on Wednesday morning, I'm probably not going to be able to hear too much of what you're saying. Now, I've got earplugs in nowadays, so that's not so much a problem. But there was a barrier for me being able to listen. What sort of barriers do we have? Even though God's word is plentiful, it's right there in our hands, what barriers do we have from hearing his word? What stops us from hearing his call? What stops you from reading his word? We live in a world where quiet times, the time spent alone with God and his word, there are so many challenges. There's the challenge, the temptation of social media, isn't there? As you're reading your Bible in the morning, what's happened? How many likes have I got on Facebook or hearts on Instagram or whatever else there is? That pulls us away from hearing God's word to us. We live in busy worlds. It's hard to find the time to read and hear God's word to us. Or maybe it's simply indifference. You don't believe in the power of God's word. You don't believe that reading his word will make a difference in your life. And then there's Sunday. Sometimes the pastor can be a barrier to you hearing God's word. I get that sometimes. And as a young pastor, as a growing pastor, I very much appreciate your patience with me as I'm growing, as we're growing together in God's word. It can be difficult as parents when you've got that wriggly little darling sitting next to you who can't sit still, who takes your attention. I get that too. That can be a challenge. There are times and seasons where in our life where it is difficult. But the challenge to us this morning is, how can we hear God's word? What distractions, what things do we need to be mindful of? Some of these things we can do something about. How can I hear the call of God's word? How do I prepare myself to hear the call of God's word? Am I climbing into bed at 2 o'clock on a Sunday morning and then expecting to be bright and alert, ready to hear God's word at 10 o'clock or 10:30? How are you preparing your heart to hear him speak to you? Samuel hears. He listens to the call of God and his word. But he's given a really tough first assignment. And that brings us to our second point this morning. God's word confronts. God's word confronts. Now, most of us have been subject at some time of our life to an airbrush bashing. Someone's yelled at us, someone's told us off. It's not pleasant, is it? But what does God himself say, boys and girls? How is God's word described there in verse 11? The Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel in which the two ears of everyone who hears it will what?" Can someone tell me? They will what? What will their ears do?
Tingle.
That's right, they will tingle. This is a message that's not a good message that Samuel's given. It's the kind of message that's like a policeman coming to your door at 2 o'clock in the morning and saying there's been a terrible accident and one of your children has died. It's the kind of message that you get when you go to the doctor and the doctor says, "I'm sorry, it's cancer. There's absolutely nothing we can do about it. And you need to prepare to die." That's the kind of message that Samuel was asked to deliver, that he was tasked to deliver. An ear-tingling message, verse 12 and following. "On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. I will tell him that I'm about to punish his house forever. Because Eli knew about the iniquity of his sons. They were blaspheming God," and we looked last week at what they were doing, how they were abusing the temple system, abusing the woman attached to the tabernacle there, how they were rejecting God. Now, is it a bit of a harsh here? Because in the last chapter, we saw that Eli corrected his sons. He told them off for what they were doing. Yet God says here, "You failed to act." Well, the simple answer to this is that we don't know the mind of God. We can't see into people's hearts. God can. And obviously God's judgment of Eli was that he had failed in his duty there. But the saddest thing here in this message, the most terrible thing about this message, is that Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were beyond hope. Did you get that as we read that? Verse 14. "Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." No hope. No salvation. No offering. No sacrifice would make things right. Time was up for the house of Eli. That's a horrible, terrible punishment. I think none of us would ever want to hear. No hope, no salvation. Samuel sleeps on the message. Although our passage doesn't exactly say that, does it? Samuel lay until morning. You can hear a hint there. After being told this message and knowing that he's going to have to tell Eli about this somehow, I can't imagine that Samuel got much sleep at all. Our text tells us that he was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. He didn't want to bring this message of condemnation, of judgment to Eli. Would you want to bring this message? But here we see in Eli's response to Samuel a positive as well. Samuel told him everything, hid nothing from him. And what does Eli say in verse 18? It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Samuel acknowledges God and his message and prepares to submit to that word. As terrible as it is, he humbles himself under that word. Do we do that? Do we submit to God's word as God's word confronts and challenges us? Do we come humbly to God's word? There are some hard words, some hard truths in his word for us. Do we submit to that? Do we come to his word prepared to be challenged by his word? Do we come on a Sunday prepared to listen to his word? To be challenged, encouraged, yes, and confronted? And yes, sometimes that does hurt. God's word, brothers and sisters, is meant to confront us. It is meant to challenge us. I am called as a preacher of God's word to bring God's word in its entirety to you. And that's something that's not always easy to do. No good preacher should want to come and bring a hard word to God's people simply to make them feel bad. But every preacher is called to bring God's word to his people. So something you can pray for me as your pastor, that I would have boldness to challenge all of us as a congregation when we need to be challenged from God's word. But also something that each and every one of us can pray every time we come to a service. Every time we open up his word. Challenge me. Work in me. Work in my heart. May your Holy Spirit work and mold me. Show me the things that I need to work on, that I need to change. And yes, encourage me too where I need to be encouraged. Every single time you come to his word, that should be your attitude, that should be your prayer. Turn with me again in the New Testament to James 1. James 1. That's there on page 1011. James 1, verse 19, we hear these words. Know this, my beloved brothers, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Dropping down to verse 22. But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Are you the kind of man or woman who goes to the mirror, looks in the mirror, and walks away and forgets at what you look like? None of us are like that with our physical appearance, are we? But how about God's word as it holds a mirror up to your life? Do you read his word? Do you come and hear his word preached? And then walk away. And forget all about what you've been challenged, all about what you've heard, and go about the rest of your week. That's looking in the mirror and forgetting what you look like. Are you prepared to be challenged? To be confronted by his word when it's a hard word to you? God's word confronts us. It challenges us so that we will grow, so that we'll be encouraged, so that we will be changed and transformed. And that's our final point this morning. God's word changes us. God's word changes us. We see, first of all, in our passage, the patience of God in bringing us his word. Four times God called Samuel. He was patient with Samuel, and he's patient with us too, isn't he? Something we struggle with sometimes as parents, as employers, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, as we're trying to explain something, as we're trying to help someone. Can't you get it? Why don't you understand it? I've explained it to you a million times. Why don't you get it? God's not like that, is he? He's patient with us. And if I think in my own life, sometimes I need much more than four times to be reminded and challenged by God. God is patient. He slowly, steadily works in our lives. He slowly, steadily transforms us through his word. And that's the picture that we have of Samuel here as well. Verse 19 of 1 Samuel 3. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Sometimes when you're talking to a teenager, it seems like your words fall to the ground, doesn't it? They go through in one ear and out one ear and vanish into space. Or they bounce off the ear and disappear. But that didn't happen with Samuel. Whose words were it that didn't fall to the ground? It's not clear here in our passage who exactly the words come from. And it's not clear in the original language either. And I think that's there on purpose. Was it God's words that didn't fall to the ground, or was it Samuel's words that didn't fall to the ground in Israel? There's a good argument that can be made that it's both. First of all, it's Samuel that's being transformed, by the word of the Lord. None of God's words to Samuel fell to the ground. He heard all of them, and he grew in those words. God's word also became less rare. The Lord appeared to himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And over the page in chapter 4, verse 1, the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Samuel becomes the prophet for the nation of Israel. Samuel's words didn't fall to the ground. Israel recognized that God was speaking, that God had transformed Samuel, and that God was making changes in the nation of Israel. And that same word, brothers and sisters, is at work in us. The word of Jesus Christ, the gospel, working in us through his Holy Spirit. As we read his word on our own, but also especially as we hear it. One of the main ideas of the Reformation was that God's word, the word you had before us, was in the hands of the people. That the average person could read and understand God's word. But also, and vitally, this word was proclaimed. It was preached. The Reformation particularly took hold of the city of Geneva. Can anyone tell me how many times, how many sermons were preached a week in Geneva? Does anyone know? How many sermons a week? Have a guess.
Fifty?
Poor pastor. Not quite 50. It was only, if we can put it that way, only six. But six times a week. Imagine that, six times a week. I can't complain really, can I, with only two? Six times a week. What did that show? It showed that the preaching of God's word was important. It recognized that God's word was central to the lives of God's people. That God's word and the preaching of God's word had power. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? Do we believe that God's word has power, that his word preached has power and changes our lives? Are we listening to that word? Do we value that word? I I'm not sure we always do. I know I don't. What does how we come to God's word, how many times we come to God's word, show and reflect as to how much we appreciate it and see its power? We should have a problem, brothers and sisters, in our evening service. We should have this problem, that the number of chairs we put out week in, week out is not enough. And we don't have that problem. There are a number of us here who have never set foot on the door of the evening service. There are many of us who come once. Now, there may be reasons. I get that. I understand that. But what does it say? And I can't answer that question for you. I'm merely asking it. What value do you place on God's word proclaimed to you? I'm not judging you. I'm asking you the question. How much do you value his word? And even if you come every single time, if you attend Bible study and open God's word together, if you're doing your quiet time 7 times a week, what attitude are you coming to that with? Are you coming with the expectation, the understanding, that God's word will change you, it will transform you? Do you believe in its transforming power? Do you desire? Do you hunger? Do you thirst for his word? Do you believe what God says in Isaiah 55 verse 10? For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that every time you open God's word, every time you hear God's word, he is speaking to you? How is God's word returning to him through you? As we close, Isaiah again gives us a suggestion as to how we are to come to that word. Isaiah 62, verses 1 and 2, we read this. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But, and this is the but I want you to hear, but this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Is that you? Do you come to his word, to hear his word, to read his word, humble, prepared to be challenged, remorseful, trembling? Do you come believing that his word will transform you? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that your word does not return to you empty-handed, but that it does change us. Lord, we pray that you would give us again this, and anew this morning, an appreciation for your word. Help us to realize the wonderful privilege we have of having the words of Jesus Christ given to us. Words that we know and have been promised in your word will change us, will transform us. Help us to come to your word every single time, prepared to listen. To say as Samuel did, speak, Lord, because your servant is listening to you. Remove any of the barriers that stop us hearing. The distractions, the attitudes of our heart, our indifference, our apathy, remove that, we pray. Challenge us, we pray, by your word. Expose our hearts. Help us to come to your word every time prepared to be challenged, prepared to be comforted if that is what we need. Help us to be people who look at in the mirror of your word and change because of that. Not that we can do that ourselves. We can only do that through the work of your Holy Spirit. But help us not to be in your word and then walk away and forget it. We thank you that your word changes us. And in our prayer is this morning that we would be have hearts that would be prepared to change. We thank you for your promise that your word does work in our lives. Help us to be open to opportunities to hearing your word whenever we are able to. Give us a hunger and thirst for your word. Help us to encourage others to come and hear your word proclaimed. Lord, we thank you that your word doesn't return to you empty, but that you do achieve your purpose despite our apathy, despite the struggles that we have to listen. You still do work in us. May that be true. We think especially, Lord, this morning of those amongst our number who we see so little of. Work in their hearts this morning too, Lord. Help us to be an encouragement. Help us to bring the confrontation of God's word to them, to bring the sure promise to them that God's word does change us. It does help us. That they too can be blessed as they fellowship with us, as they hear God's word proclaimed as well. Bless your word to us this morning. Continue to bless your word to us this week, we pray. Transform us in your word, through your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.